go any further, let me review with you what the messages are that each one of these 10 signals is giving you. We've already said that if you're uncomfortable, the message is simple. You got to change your state, clarify what you want, and take action in the direction of what you want. And immediately you won't be uncomfortable anymore. If you're feeling category number 2, emotions of fear, whether it be concern or apprehension or worry or anxiety or scared or frightened or terrified, no matter what intensity it is, any one of those still are fearful emotions, and fear emotions deliver one message to us. We need to prepare ourselves to deal with something or to avoid the negative consequences of something that's coming up, something that's about to happen, a situation or event. Basically, fear is get prepared. Get yourself so you can deal with something. And that's a valuable message, isn't it? Now, the problem is what most of us do is we get fearful and we don't take the message. We either try to deny the fear and act like we're real strong, and all it does is get stronger and stronger. Or worse, we just surrender the fear and we don't get the message. All we do is we get caught up in the emotion and we get more and more scared and we amplify it. And we start thinking of the worst that can happen rather than figuring out, okay, what do I need to do to be prepared to avoid the negative consequences and make this work? For example, people have fear of failure. That's a valuable fear. It's saying get prepared so you won't fail. You might have a fear because the IRS is coming to visit you and you get a little note in the mail. You get this feeling of anxiety. That's probably a useful fear. Right? It's probably saying to you, hey, you better go get all your paperwork in order. If you didn't have that message, if it wasn't painful enough, you might slough it off. They might show up and it may cost you a lot of money, not because you weren't accurate or honest, because you weren't prepared. Same thing happens if somebody asks you to give a speech and you get a little fear inside. Maybe it grows into anxiety. The more intense it gets, the more we tend to surrender to the emotion rather than get the message. That's why we may want to convert fear and say, well, I'm a little concerned. And what I'm concerned about is I need to prepare for the speech so I do the best possible job and I'll feel confident instead of fearful. Now, again, with each of these emotions, we want to hear the message and see if the message appropriate. You may already be prepared. You may be as prepared as you can get. There's a limit to what you can do, right? There's a point where you have to have some faith. At that point, you might just have to say, you know what? This is a message. I need to change my perceptions, not my procedures. I'm prepared by my procedures. I know what to do. I know how to do it. But I got to stop focusing on this thing being the worst possible situation. I just need to decide to become confident now, to focus on it working instead of it not working. The third category of emotions, those of hurt feelings, give us a signal and a message that says you have an expectation that's not been met and you have a feeling of loss. I.e., you expected somebody to keep their word and they didn't, that hurt your feelings. Or you expected someone never to share something that you told them privately and they told somebody else. And now you feel hurt. You feel a sense of loss of intimacy with them or loss of trust. And that sense of loss is what creates that feeling of hurt inside of us. What do we need to do? It tells us immediately that we have to evaluate, is there really a loss here? Again, do we need to change our perception? Maybe you just didn't communicate to this person that when you told them this, you wanted them to keep this information private. Maybe you haven't lost anything. Maybe you just have to change your way of communicating your needs or, again, change your behavior. The next category is anger. That's the fourth category. And, again, emotions like irritation or feeling livid or furious or enraged or resentful, all of these fit into this category. Any of these emotions are simply signals giving you a message, and the message here is that an important rule that you have in your life has been violated by someone else or maybe even by you. See, when we think something's really important and somebody violates that rule, we get upset about it. How we deal with that upset will determine a great deal how much pain or pleasure we really experience in our lives and how close we get to other people or how much we push them away from us. In other words, if somebody violates your standards, that's the message. What you're supposed to do with that message is real simple. Communicate that you have a standard. Communicate that you know it's only your rule. It isn't necessarily their rule, but you need their help. So if we use the earlier example where you shared something in confidence with someone, but you didn't tell them it was in confidence, you expected them to know that, and you didn't just feel hurt, you felt angry about it, then the bottom line is instead of beating that person up, you need to go to that person and communicate in a different way. Right? Change the way you're communicating. Change your procedure. And say, you know, I know you didn't understand this to be private, but this is really important to me, and you need to deal with it as quickly as possible. Anger is usually an outgrowth of hurt. In other words, when you're hurt, you have a feeling of loss, something you expected didn't work out. When you're angry, it's because it's something you think is really important that wasn't handled, or you've got a lot of hurts that have built up and you've not expressed them, you've not communicated them. So anger is usually a signal that something you believe is really important has been violated by someone or yourself, or that you've had a lot of hurts that you've not expressed that have built up until they're anger. How do you deal with it? change your perception. Maybe this person wasn't trying to hurt you at all. Change your procedure. Communicate better what your real needs are, or change your behavior. Tell people up front, hey, this is private. Promise me you won't share those with anybody because it's real important to me. Either way, you'll get out of your anger quickly. It's simply a signal that says you need to clarify with other people what your rules are and get them to agree to meet them, or you need to compromise them possibly. You know, some things you get angry about, you're going to get angry about for the rest of your life, and you better identify those things and realize that those are just your standards. They're not everybody's standards, and if you go around being upset because everyone doesn't live by your rules, you're going to be upset your whole life. So again, maybe you need to change your perceptions, change your rules, so that life is a lot simpler and a lot less painful for you. The fifth category of emotions, frustration. These action signals are telling you you need to change your approach to achieving your goal. Whatever you're going after, you're not going to get it the way you're doing it right now. That's why you're frustrated. You keep trying to get the same result by doing the same thing over and over again. There was a definition given a long time ago about insanity. They said insanity is attempting to get a new result by doing the same thing over and over again. It'll never work. So you've got to change your approach. When you feel frustrated, just know, hey, that's a message. I got to change my approach. I need to be more flexible in this situation. Category number six, disappointment. If you start to feel disappointed, that's a signal. And that signal is bringing you a message. And the message is that you need to realize that an expectation you had, an outcome you're going after, is not going to probably happen unless you change your expectation and make it more appropriate for the situation at hand. In other words, maybe you wanted something to happen in too short a period of time. I was doing a seminar about a week ago, and I was in Fort Lauderdale. And I was in the restroom, and this man recognized me and came up to me. It's always interesting when you're in a restroom and people come up and ask you for advice about how to change their life. It seems a little inappropriate. But anyway, the bottom line is it made me uncomfortable, actually, and I guess I had to clarify that I needed to change my state, clarify what I wanted, and take some new action, which I did right then and there. I won't give you the details. But the bottom line is this man told me, he said, you know, gosh, I'm hoping you can help me and turn my whole life around. He said, because I've been doing everything I know. I've been listening to every tape there is. I read every book, and I've been doing it all, and nothing seems to be working. He said, you know, I feel like, you know, I'm so disappointed. I did everything but he said, and my life still isn't working out. He said, you know, I just feel like I just could take my life. And I said, well, you want some help? And I didn't say that harshly. I did it to break the guy's pattern. He looked at me like I was crazy, and then he saw me smiling, and he kind of was brain fried for a moment there, and he saw that he was being ridiculous, and so was I. And so he said, well, you know, I said, listen. I said, what you need to realize is that the reason you're disappointed is you're getting feedback. Disappointment says that you set some pretty strong goals within a certain time frame, and you didn't meet those. So you got to change your goal a little bit. You got to make it more appropriate for where you are right now. Make it a little bit more realistic for where you are right now. I said, remember something. God's delays are not God's denials. See, you may just be in what I call lag time. Lag time means if you go out right now and you plant a seed, you don't come back the next day and look for the plant. You don't expect to all of a sudden reap your reward the next day. See, if you planted a seed and then you ran back the next day and you went to the soil and you said, hey, soil, where's my plant? The soil will just giggle at you and say, hey, what are you, new? Doesn't work that way. You know, you got to work through all the different seasons and stuff. How can you be disappointed already? But some people manage to do that. I said, so you may be in lag time. Sometimes you put a seed in, you plant something, and it takes a season for you to get the reward. And you're still in springtime, and you're expecting it to be fall. Realize, disappointment says you need to change your expectations. You need to change simply your view of things and come up with a more appropriate outcome for the time that you have involved, the people you have involved, the situation you have involved. So that's the message. Listen to it. Utilize it. Don't keep re-experiencing disappointment and stacking it until you feel overloaded, overwhelmed, or hopeless, or inadequate, which are emotions we'll talk about later. But first, let's talk about the next one. The seventh major category of emotions are guilt or regret emotions. Hey, when you've got feelings of guilt or regret, a lot of people say, well, don't feel guilty about anything. Garbage. Guilt serves you if you hear the message. And the message of guilt is really simple. It says you violated one of your own standards, and you must do something immediately to ensure that you're not going to violate again in the future. That's why you have the pain of guilt. Now, what most people do is they do one or the other. They either deny the guilt, take themselves out of it, and don't feel guilty at all, which, you know, I agree you shouldn't stay in guilt, but if you just deny the guilt and don't get the message, the guilt's going to come back. It'll get you sooner or later. It's back there. It's deep. It's dark. It'll get you. So with that fear, maybe you should turn that fear into getting the message instead of being overwhelmed and, again, surrendering to guilt. That's the other extreme. People just walk around and they allow themselves then to feel inferior for the rest of their life. They feel so regretful about what they once did. That is not the purpose of guilt. It's to make sure you clean up your act. It's to make sure that you don't violate this again. It's that you make things right when you screw up. That's what you got to do. Now, sometimes you can't. Sometimes someone has passed away or something's occurred where you feel guilty about something that happened in the past you really can't change. The only thing you can change is your present and future behaviors. When you do that, you can let go of the guilt. But that's the message it offers you. And again, when you immediately feel the signal, what do? You identify the signal and you realize, hey, I'm feeling regret or I'm feeling guilt. Secondly, you appreciate the message. It's a message that says you need to change something, either your perception or your procedures. Maybe you're feeling guilty about something you shouldn't feel guilty about at all. Have you ever done that? I know I have. Like, I felt guilty one time because I didn't help somebody feel happy enough. I used to run around. If everybody around me wasn't happy, I'd feel guilty if I felt good. How stupid. We don't want to fall into that category. You might want to change your rules or your perceptions. Or you might need to change your procedures again. Maybe the procedure is you feel guilty about the way you communicated to somebody. You were too harsh. Go back and clean it up. Say, hey, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to do this. I really regret what I said. I was wrong. Boy, the guilt will disappear. Or change your behavior in the future. Change the way you're going to communicate to that person or people like them. Any one of these three changes, again, will immediately eliminate the guilt, and then guilt has served a good purpose, hasn't it? It's kept you on track. It's moved you forward. It's made you a better person. That's why it's there. Utilize it. Don't wallow in it. Let's go to category number 8, inadequacy. Boy, if you feel inadequate, those are any of those emotions, again, that make you feel like you're less than. Feelings of being unworthy, for example, would be inadequate feelings. Whenever you feel this emotion or emotion like it, get excited. Appreciate it's offering you a message, and the message is simple. It's saying you need to do something to get better in this category right away. It doesn't mean you have to be perfect at it. Inadequacy just says you got to do something. Don't sit on your duff anymore. You're feeling inadequate because you haven't done anything to be really good in this area. Now, the first thing you got to do is, as you go through this process, is ask yourself, is this really an appropriate emotion? That is, am I really inadequate, or do I need to change the way I'm perceiving things? Maybe I got some rules that say, in order for me to be adequate, you know, I have to go on the dance floor and outdo John Travolta. You know, that's probably inappropriate perceptions. You need to change the perceptions. Or it may be changing the procedures, which is, I need to prepare myself by doing something right now to get better. One thing you could do is just go practice. One thing you do is go out and initiate some communication. So inadequacy is a message to get up and do something to become better, or to change your criteria. To look at what you're doing and make it easier for yourself to feel adequate. You've probably got rules that are too harsh. Now, category number 9. This is one of the categories that I think immobilizes and destroys more people's lives than virtually any of the others combined. And that is a feeling of being overloaded or overwhelmed or hopeless or depressed. They all fit together. I use overloaded to make it sound simpler. Because if you say, gosh, I'm depressed, you'll immediately feel much more intensity than if you say I'm overloaded. The key here is to realize that this is a signal. When you feel hopeless, depressed, overwhelmed, or overloaded, the message that's offering you is that you need to reevaluate what's most important to you in this situation. Sit down right now and decide what is absolutely important, what's a necessity for you versus what's a desire. Write down all the things that are most important for you to accomplish. Then, 2, put them in order of priority. And then 3, take the first one on your list and do something about it. It's the same thing with depression, the same thing for being hopeless. Sit down and saying, okay, instead of saying it's hopeless, I need to change my state, 1. That's always the message of all these emotions. 2, I got to clarify what's most important to me. Write it all out. 3, what's the order of the importance? And 4, what's the first thing on my list? Let me go handle that. The minute you go handle anything and you deal with one simple issue, your brain can handle it, and as soon as you handle that situation, you will feel like you're in control of your world. You will not feel overloaded. You will not feel overwhelmed. You will feel like there's hope, and you won't feel depressed. Your self-esteem grows when you do something to take control of events instead of having events take control of you. And all you have to do to take control of events is chunk them down. Pick one thing and master it. Go to 2 and master it. The message is simple. You're trying to do too much in too short a period of time. You're looking at the whole world and expecting everything to be perfect overnight, and you're feeling like you can't handle it all. Chunk it down. Here's the final category. Category 10, feeling lonely. Have you ever felt really lonely? Gosh, I don't think there's anybody alive who hasn't. But what does it mean when you feel lonely? What is the message that you should get from that signal? I think the message is really simple. What we really need at that moment, the message is telling us we need a certain connection with people. The challenge with that message is a lot of times people take the word connection or the idea of the need for a connection with another human being and they make it into a sexual connection or instant intimacy. And then they feel frustrated because even when they have that, they still feel lonely. What we really need to do is identify what kind of connection. Maybe you do need an intimate connection. Maybe you just need some basic friendship or someone to listen to or somebody to laugh with or someone to talk to. It's real important when we feel lonely to just say, hey, this is really neat. What's great about being lonely is it says I really care about people. I love to be with people. And I need to find out in what way I want to be with somebody right now. And then take an action immediately to go in the direction we want. In other words, all 10 of these emotions are a message to our brain to say, hey, what you're doing right now isn't working, and you need to change it. You need to change your perception, change what criteria you're using, your way of looking at things that makes you feel this way, because your perception's not appropriate, or change the way you're communicating. You're not communicating things in a way where people know your needs, or just change your behavior. What you're doing isn't working. Change your approach. So whether it be fear, where you're saying, hey, what you're doing is you're not prepared enough, get more prepared, or change your perception. You are prepared. You're just making a criteria for yourself. You have to have too much to feel prepared. You're feeling fearful because your criteria are too intense. Your rules are too hard to meet. Change it and look at it and see that you really are prepared. Or would it be something like regret, where again your brain is saying, hey, something you did isn't working. You broke your own rules in a way that doesn't work for you. Either you really didn't break your rules, your perception's unfair, or you broke your rules and you need to change it. You need to do something so that you will never again break these rules. You'll never again go through this kind of pain because it's not appropriate. That's in essence how we want to deal with these 10 emotions. And what you want to do is get to know these 10. Review them over and over again so that when, hey, you have an emotion and you say, my gosh, I'm feeling jealous. First step, identify the signal. Which of these 10 categories does it fall into? Well, gosh, jealous, what is that? Do I am feeling angry feelings or am I feeling fearful feelings about the jealousy? You might say, well, I'm really feeling angry. Well, then there's a standard that I have that's been violated. First step, do I need to change my perception or my procedures? As I respect the emotion, what is the meaning I should take from this? What's the message? Well, maybe, you know, the fact that they said hello to this other person, maybe I need to change my perception. Maybe that's not so bad. Maybe I shouldn't feel jealous about that. Maybe that's an unfair rule, an unfair way of looking things. Or maybe I need to communicate my needs. That it wasn't just a conversation, it's giving that person a kiss like that doesn't meet my rules, and I need to communicate that to that person so they know, so that they can respect my values, so they can respect what my needs are. Or maybe I can change my behavior, and when I start to feel jealous, instead I can just go and share more intimate feelings, more loving feelings to this person I was jealous of, and maybe it'll change the whole quality of the relationship right then and there.